That's a Kiksati song in honor of the Tlingits who died during a canoe explosion just before the 1804 battle with Russians that took place at the park. It's used here with permission from Kiksati elder Ray Wilson. The song on Saturday was part of a retracing of that battle aboard the Allen Marine boat St. Maria with history scholars Richard and Nora Dauenauer. The boat took passengers through Sitka Sound and just off the park's shore. That geography is important, says park ranger Dusty Kidd, who helped narrate part of the tour through loudspeakers on the vessel.
You'll see the tide flats were right at low tide, and you'll get a very good idea of why it kept the Russians so far away from the second fort. It was a brilliant place to put a fort from that perspective. So if you're a military strategist, the Kiksati were led by people who really thought through what they had to do.
After the boat docked, passengers walked into the park and to the site of the Kiksati fort. Kiksati leader Ray Wilson told the crowd that it was a tough decision whether to share this history publicly.
Anytime you put it in a book, everybody thinks that they can use it anytime that they want to, but that isn't the case here. We did it because we thought that it should be preserved and passed on to the children of the people that fought in the battle.
Wilson says in the grand scheme of Tlingit history, the events on the fort site are still fresh.
And it still hurts to talk about these things because it didn't happen that very long ago.
Sunday's events had a more festive tone, with the dedication of a raven's tail robe woven by Sitka artist Terry Rothkar. The robe is designed to tell the story of the park and includes representations of native tattoo patterns, wolf moss, bull kelp, and national park symbols. Rothkar says usually one of these robes takes 1,000 hours to complete.
This one took 2,000 hours. Now, if it didn't have a story when I started, it would by the time I finished. That is the truth. So you may as well start with the story and allow all of those symbols and the imagery that helps us all remember what's important here today at 100 years. You know, I want that to be looked at 200 years from now and go, so that's what they were doing at the turn of the century. It's like, oh yeah, and maybe there'll be everybody dressed in these. Or maybe there'll be nobody dressed in these. I don't know. How important is it as a people for us to continue these kind of relationships?
Rothkar says the raven's tail weaving technique goes back hundreds, maybe thousands of years. The robe revealed on Sunday was inspired by one Rothkar saw in 2007 at a museum in St. Petersburg, Russia. She visited that museum again in January, and through an interpreter, a guide at the museum shared a startling fact with Rothkar.
They were collected by the Russians in 1788 in Lituya Bay. They were from Lituya Bay. You could have blown me over with the feather. My totem family comes from Lituya Bay. So many of you have connections with Lituya Bay. So many. Fishermen. You guys take cover in Lituya Bay. I mean, it's still a place we have a continuing relationship with today, so this is pretty huge for me.
A continuing relationship might be the best way to describe Rothkar's experience in weaving the robe over the last 2 years. When she talks about the robes she saw in Russia, she says she visited them. And a few days before the unveiling, when Rothkar was showing the robe to Raven News, she talked about it, but also at one point, to it.
I'm very much a part of it. We're very actively involved. And now, well, it's on its own. It's going to do just fine.
And the more you listen to Rothkar, the more you get the impression that she sounds almost like a mother talking about her child.
And a 2-year gestation period, that can't be good. Absolutely. Yeah, it is. Because I can't take credit for all of the genes in there, but, you know, it does come from someplace, and it's very much everybody's now.
In many ways, the whole weekend became a tapestry of many stories and many cultures who have found themselves woven together over the last 100 years. That much was clear to Nancy Yaw Davis, who was born and raised in Sitka, left after graduating high school in 1954, and returned just last year. She says events like the robe dedication make her proud to live in Sitka.
It's absolutely awesome. I was profoundly touched by this series of events, and we've only gotten started. Just think what this whole year could say about this community and about our human connections to its history and its prehistory and its present, and how we can be a part of shaping what happens next. And I feel connected to this town like I'm kind of stunned and overwhelmed at this point.
The commemoration of the park's 100th birthday continues throughout the year. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.